morning. Welcome to church this morning. Let's get our Bibles out this morning and open them up to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're continuing on in this great epistle that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. Make sure you get your outline out, get your Bibles out, give you a moment there to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. We'll be looking at this passage for us this morning. As we begin, as you're finding your place, I was kind of encouraged what Brian brought up this morning when he was talking to us about some deep theology and getting us to think. I want to get us to kind of begin to think as we go into this passage this morning and really to be thinking ahead of where God is going to be speaking to us through his word. I want to encourage you as we go along through here, it would be good for you to be reading chapters 3 through 7. And I'll tell you why in a moment, but as we begin, I have a question for you. This is the question in all of this life that you have to live, say from 9 years old to 90. Now, I'm not saying you don't live life at 80 or at 8. I just kind of put that down in for kind of sounding clever, 9 to 90. But from the beginning to the end of it, and all this life that we have to live, whatever we do, all of it, what's it all about for the Christian? If you had to answer that, I want you to think a little bit. It's good to think. It's good to, like Brian encouraged us this morning, to think about grace, to think about God's truth in Christ and those things, to ponder them in our heart as we come to worship the Lord. And obviously today, we've been blessed and encouraged in our worship of God and in honor of him, because we've been challenged to think about what God has done for us and his grace and those kind of things. But I want you to think about, in all of this life, what's it about for the Christian? You might want to write something down. It kind of encourages you in that way. Now, you're going to think of a lot of things, but, you know, if I asked the youth, especially when I was teaching the youth, I did that a while back, I'd ask them this kind of question, you'd get, well, it's all about Jesus. Well, it is all about Christ, isn't it? But I want us to kind of go a little farther than that, okay? Because it is all about Christ, it's all about him and all of that. But let's think a little deeper in that. Let's get down to some nitty-gritty things that's in your mind and your heart. What's all this life about? Let's say from the moment of your salvation forward, what's it all about? I'm going to help you ponder in your mind here a little bit. You have school, you have grades, chores, learning about life. You learn how to chop wood. You learn how to help mom in the kitchen. You learn how to make your bed. You learn how to participate in the family. You learn principles of God's word. You learn how to respect the elders. You learn how all the things in life you learn. I mean, we have here in our church, we have many members of our body of Christ that are in FFA, and they learn how to show a cow, they learn how to raise animals. There's all these kinds of things that we learn and that we do in the midst of life. That's what I'm talking about. What is all of this about that we do in all that we do? And I'm just challenging you to think. As we're working on becoming a godly man or a godly woman, and we're studying God's word and learning his truths, and in your marriage, as you're working on your marriage in those areas, or your job, and that you're working to provide for your family or grow your career or going to college or interact with people that you interact with, what's it all about? The relationships that you have, you're raising children, you're a parent, you have activities, vacations, you're being an aunt, uncle, brother, sister, church family. Think about all the dynamics, grandfather, grandmother, which are called Mimi, Lolo, Gigi, Nana, Papa. How many kinds of names do we have for grandparents? I mean, if I ask you, we'd probably get about 20 just in the room, wouldn't we? When did that happen? Did that happen when I became a grandparent and all of a sudden I recognized that we have all of these different names for grandparents? I think it's probably part of that, but what's it all about for the Christian? This life that we live for us as believers. Well, I'm going to encourage you, and we're going to, as we've been going along through here, these next five chapters, Paul really kind of really gives us God's word, the truth of God's word. Paul here writing brings really to the surface, really to our hearts, gives us a good idea of what it's all about. If I asked you, what would you say? Well, the songs, we would say it's all about the glory of God, right? The glory of Christ. Well, let's go a little farther than that. What is the glory of Christ? What is the glory of God? Displaying the glory of God. All to the glory of God. All to the glory of God is in our lives that we're displaying, we're reflecting, we're personifying the character and nature of God out of our life. That's all to the glory of God. That in our lives and everything that we do it, that it represents, it focuses, it shows, it lights up who God is, why God came, and what God has done. That's all to the glory of God. If we would think about it, you might have wrote something in that you would have wrote. It's about us reflecting and proclaiming and being a light of the salvation found in Christ. That's what it's all about. It is all about all those things. Paul is going to be talking to us in these next five chapters, encouraging us, teaching us in the parameter of what it's all about. In all of chapter 3 through 7, it says we're to be servants of the new covenant. We're to be being transformed, as he goes to 3:18. We're to be transformed as we focus on Christ, as we focus on his word and apply it to his life. What God is doing is transforming the way we live to look more like Christ. That's what he teaches there. He says in the end of chapter 4, we're to be focusing on the eternal, not the temporal in this life. It's all about that. It's all about seeing the eternal that God is doing, things that aren't seen, things that we know to be true that are in God's word. We're focusing our lives on those, not living for the temporal, but living for the eternal. And then he says, we're ambassadors of Christ, and God has given us a ministry of reconciliation. So we're servants of a new covenant, and we're ministers of reconciliation in this world, to be redeemed, bought back to Christ. That's what it's about in our life, ambassadors of Christ. And he goes through these things that he's teaching, what it's about. And then he talks about, in chapter 7, it's about perfecting holiness and in reverence for God and repenting of sin, recognizing that we have to turn from ourselves and embrace him if we're going to be these things God asks us to be and if we're going to live what his purposes are. So as we come to here to chapter 3 in our text, he begins to talk about the new covenant. Hang on. With that on your heart and mind, for here he's going to bring up the new covenant relationship that we have in Christ. He's going to talk about, excuse me, have it go down the wrong windpipe. That's good. Can't talk and drink water at the same time. You just got to stop and go ahead and just drink the water, right? Hang on a sec. How was that? Anyway, for we're going to be talking about the new covenant for at least 3 weeks, probably more. I could say yes, definitely more. We're going to be talking about, our topic will be new covenant. That's what we're going to look at. Today we're going to begin to look at new covenant. Today as servants of the new covenant. We're to act a certain way, to live a certain way as servants of the new covenant. And in the weeks to follow, we're going to look at the glory of the new covenant. So that's going to be our topic, what we're going to be focusing in on. And all of chapter 3 is about that. A new covenant really is the focus, and we really need to get a handle on it, a hold of what a new covenant is, but we can't teach that in one day or one service. It's going to take us 3, 4, 5 as we go through here to really get a hold of what the new covenant relationship God has brought to us in the new covenant that he brought through Christ. And so that's what we're going to be studying here, but today we're looking at that we are servants of the new covenant. So look with me at our chapter today, verses 1 through 6. Here's our text. Let's read it together. Here's what God writes, what Paul writes to the church at Corinth. He says, are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, as some, letters of commendation to you or from you? You are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested that you are letters of Christ. Cared for us, written in, not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. Verse 6, he says, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter of the law, or the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, he's talking about the new covenant, and you saw what he said right in the text. He said, God made you a servant of Christ, or servant of the new covenant. He said it right in there. That's a definite thing that God has done in our life. It's right there. Look at verse 5 and 6 again. Look what Paul is writing and what he's saying, and that's where we get the title for our message today. You're a servant of the new covenant. Look at verse 5. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves. Amen. The grace of God, right, guys? It's the grace of God. Nothing is coming from ourselves. It's all coming from God. Our competency, our sufficiency, our ability, all of that is from God. It's not from us. God has made us this way. God has saved us, rescued us. This is what God, the sovereign hand of God, by his grace, has brought me into the kingdom of God, brought me into a relationship with God. It's God. That's what he's talking about. Look at verse 6, though. Who also... Our adequacy is from God, and we don't consider anything coming from us, but God is one that is making us competent. And look what he says, who also, God, is the who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant. Made us. I want you to think about God. God made you. That's what it says in the text. He made you in your salvation. He made you competent, capable, able to be a servant of a new covenant. That's what it says in the text. In your salvation, he didn't ask you if you would be, did he? He didn't ask you if you'd like to be. He didn't ask you, well, if you go along here, this is, you know, figure this out, work this out. What it says, by the divine hand of God in your salvation, God in his work in your new creation made you a servant of a new covenant. The answer becomes, or the question becomes, well, are you going to live what God has made you capable of living? That's what Paul's getting to in the text. That's the thing. Isn't that the challenge in our life? What God has done in our life by our grace, redemption, bringing us back to Christ, reconciling us to the Lord, giving us new life in Christ. We're going to look at it all. In and everything, all of that, God said, I made you this. This is who you are on this earth as the church, as the body of Christ. This is what God decided, what God determined, what God has done. He has made us competent. He has given us the ability to be servants of a new covenant. In context, what Paul is doing, he's contrasting the false teachers. The false teachers had come in, they attacked Paul and the truth of Paul and what Paul was teaching, and they came in and they were saying, no, their competency is in us and how good we are and how well we articulate things and how well we teach things. And we got letters of commendation proving that we're good. Paul is contrasting that and saying, hey, this isn't about what man thinks in the world and what man determines about people. This is about what God has done in our life. Are we going to live what God has done in our life? That's the compelling thing that's in the text. That's what God's going to teach us and we're going to look at. And it's important what we're talking about today. This is about the new covenant. So the word servant in our text, and this is just the opening and we're getting into what we're going to look at today. The word servant in our text is an important word. Now, when you think of servant, what do you think of? When you read the text, oh, okay, he has made us servants of a new covenant. When you think of servant, you think of things like this, don't you? Normally think of being a servant of someone. Someone is an authority. As a husband, I am a servant of my wife, okay? That's just how it is. I'll own up to it, okay? Not too many laughters out there. But in certain things and that kind of thing, we think of servant that way. God is the authority over our life. We serve God and we serve, but Christ is our master. We serve him. He's the authority over our life. God instructs us on what to do. We execute his commands. But servant here in the text doesn't mean that. Servants of the new covenant doesn't mean that we serve a new covenant as the one of authority over us. The word doesn't mean in that sense that the new covenant relationship that we have with God, the new covenant that is in Christ's blood that he brought to us, we don't serve that, but we serve a living God. We serve Christ. And the word servant here means minister or deacon. That'd be important. Write that down. So what he's saying is God has made you capable of ministering a new covenant. God has made you a deacon over the duty of living and sharing the new covenant relationship God has established in Christ. That's a good way to look at it. He's made you a minister of that. He's made you a deacon of that. God made you it. That's what he's talking about. You get this, right? So you are to be executing a task which God has made you adequate to do. Think about it that way. As a Christian, as a believer in Christ, in God's new life, in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, when what God has come along and how God is going to minister to you and God is going to equip you and God is going to strengthen you and God is going to be your all in all, and God through you, he says, I've made you capable of executing a task God has asked us to do, and that's to live the new covenant relationship found in Jesus Christ. That's how you are a servant of the new covenant, by the life you live. We're to proclaim it, that it's found in Jesus Christ alone, and it's new. And it's good and important. Let me teach you a few things about new. This will help us with the new covenant. Those passages that are in your outline are good. I'm going to run through those real quick. It's new. God's into the new. Did you know God's into the new? He's not into the old. Now, God of the Old Testament's the same God of the New Testament. I'm not putting down the Old Testament, and I'm not putting down the Old Covenant. I'm not putting any of that down. But in the New Testament, when Christ came, he's into the new. He's really into the new. In our relationship with God through our salvation found in Christ, the new has come, the old is gone. He says that many times. Jesus said this in John 13, a new commandment I give to you, love like I have loved you. Now, only in the New Testament, only as Christ died on the cross and we have new covenant life that God has given us, can we love any way the way Christ has loved. Because of the work of God in the salvation of the Lord. So when Jesus gives us a new commandment, we are capable of loving like Christ has asked us to love because of the new covenant. I want you to connect this in your mind. In Acts 17, Paul came preaching Jesus to those who are in Athens, and they said, hey, let us hear this new teaching. Do you know at this time, as we're reading the Bible, a new teaching is coming to the world? That salvation is found in Jesus Christ alone by putting your faith in him? It's a new teaching. Nobody ever heard that. Nobody understood that. Nobody knew that. That if you'll submit your life to Christ, that if you'll surrender your life to the Lord and believe in him, you get all this new. You get a new covenant relationship with God. Your sins are forgiven. They're forgiven forever. You've been reconciled back to God, redeemed. That wasn't in the old. That's in the new. The writer of Hebrews said this in chapter 10, that our relationship with God is a new and a living one. You have a new living way with the Lord. You have a new life in Christ. Paul writes in Romans 6 that Christ's work on the cross was so that we could walk in newness of life. So we want to grab hold of what this new is. You, we have new life. We have a newness of life. That isn't in the old. It's in the new. And it's a new covenant that God brought along, that we would have newness of life, that we've got a new and living way to live, that it would be a new teaching, a new thing about Jesus Christ, that we'd have new commandments to live, that we could live, that we're capable of living. In chapter 7 of Romans, Paul said it this way. He said, we serve in a newness of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 5, God calls us a new lump of bread. Hey, we're new dough. I like that. How about you? A bunch of new dough around here. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, we are a new creation. We're a new creature in our salvation. It says the old things have passed away. The new things have come. Ephesians 2 says it this way, you're a new man. Ephesians 4 says, put on the new self. Peter writes in 2 Peter 3, he writes, according to God's promise, we are looking for a new heaven and new earth where we will be given a new name and a new song and a new Jerusalem. And in Revelation, at the end of the Bible, in Revelation 21, Jesus said, behold, I am making all things new. Do you know your life is new? Do you know that God came to bring new life, to bring a new song, to bring a new hope, to bring a new and living way, a newness of life? Is that what you reflect in your life? Is that how you live your life? Let me ask you, is that how you live your life? You're walking around in this life and everybody looks at you and say, wow, you are a new and living way. Man, you're living a way that just that people can see and say, man, this isn't the way of the world. This isn't the way of the Old Testament. This isn't Judaism where we keep the works and we do the law of God and we just keep every jot and tittle down and we're doing all the works and we're keeping them all because we're accepted by God when we do everything right. No, this is a new and living way by the grace of God that we have new life in our heart and mind and we live a new way in the newness of the Spirit and we put off the old man and we put on the new man and we put off the old self and put on the new self. You see what I'm talking about? It's the whole Bible, isn't it? It's the entire New Testament. That's the new covenant gospel. That's the new covenant relationship we have in God. You see why I can't teach it at one time. Because it isn't just about that now it's not the blood of goats and bulls and all that, and now it's the blood of Jesus that forgives us. It's new. And what Paul is talking about is the false teachers are teaching you things that are old. And I've come to teach the new and living way. And it transforms life, and it changes hearts, and it gives life. That's what he says at the end of 6. It gives the life of God to people. So that's what we want to grab hold on to here. It's a new covenant. There we go. I didn't talk that time while I drank the water. Wrapped up in the new covenant of God is a new way of living, a new self, a new creation, a new creature, a newness of life, where we serve in a newness of the Spirit with a new hope, looking for a new heaven and earth where all things will be made new. That's what the New Testament teaches. And all of this new comes through the new covenant God established through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a new covenant relationship with God. That's what we're going to be looking at for probably 4 to 5 weeks. Today that we're servants of it. We'll look at the glory of it later. Jesus said when he took the cup, establishing communion, this is the cup, is the new covenant in my blood. Jesus bought it with the blood of Christ. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews 8. This is the new life that I'm talking about. This is the newness of what God has done. This wasn't in the old. This is the new that came with Christ. And this is what believers, what Christians are deacons over, okay? Let's just put it that way. That'll hit you right where you need to be. You're deacons over this. You deek this, okay? You know what deacons do? They see that there's something they're supposed to perform that God has showed them they're supposed to perform. God's called them to perform it, do it, take care of it, oversee it. Yours is a new covenant relationship with God. Yours is a new life that you have in God. And he's called you, he's made you deacons over. Are you going to live that? That's what Paul is talking about. He's contrasting it. Hey, that's what I'm teaching. That's what's happening in when I'm teaching in people's lives. The old, the false teachers aren't teaching that brings anything in life. Here's the basic covenant in Hebrews 8 that Christ came to bring. Look at Hebrews 8. Look at verse 8. Behold, that's a great word. Hey, take notice. Lift up your eyes. Look. Pay attention. Quit thinking about what you're going to have for lunch. Quit thinking about how your kids are making a little bit of noise. Quit thinking about how tired you are. Behold, take notice. God, the God of the universe, says, look. Days are coming, says the Lord. They're here, you guys. They came with Christ. They're here. When I will effect a new covenant, that's the God of the universe. We can go through all of the covenants of the Old Testament, and he affected them. He affected this one, the new covenant relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Here it is, when I will effect one. God will do it. When the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, the church age, we are included in this. It started with us. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. You guys know that. When he led them out of the land of Egypt, parted the water and all of those kind of things, he said, they did not continue in my covenant. That's the Mosaic covenant. That's the keeping of God's law. That if you would keep God's law, God would bless you, God would guide you, God would lead you, God would be your God, you'd be okay. And they all failed. Some worse, some more, some better, some less. God saw their heart. Verse 10, for this is the covenant, this is the new one that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. And it came, and it's with us. I will put my laws into their mind, and I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. It is no longer an external rule book. It's no longer external things that God wants you to keep and do so you can be appeasing God, or you can be in relationship with God, or so your sin would be covered. God's going to come through Jesus Christ in our salvation, and he's going to write himself in your mind and in your heart. That's a new life. The truth of God, who God is, why God is, what God wants us to do is written in every believer in Christ. What we're battling is trying to listen to it instead of ourselves. That's the salvation that God came to bring. He came to dwell within us, third person of the Trinity, Holy Spirit, dwell within us. We could go into all of that. And when God quickens your life through the truth piercing your heart that you are a sinner in need of salvation, God comes into your life, and all those new things that I described are yours in Jesus Christ, and God dwells in you. And he'll never leave or forsake us. Well, we looked at Sunday school today in Hebrews 13. How can he ever leave the one he rescued? He can't. He dwells in each one of us. We are affirmed, assured. We have the new life of God. This isn't a come and go thing. This is a new covenant relationship God determined beforehand that he would do through Jesus Christ. And he is with us, in us. His presence is always there. And his way, his life is written on your heart and mind. And he's guiding and leading us to walk in his way in the new life that he has brought and will complete when he makes all things new in a new heaven and earth. That's the word of God. That's the new that came. It's no longer external. It's no longer laws of God to keep to be right with God, although we keep the moral law of God and we're learning to be holy. But it's internal changing of man to where we live for God from the inside. And he wrote it there in our salvation. Look at chapter 9, verse 14 and 15. He talks about the blood of bulls and goats. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Answer the question. How much more will the blood of Christ, through the eternal Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, offer himself without blemish to God, sinless Christ, how much will that cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve a living God? For this reason, Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant, so that since a death has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance, eternal forever inheritance. All that I read you, that's new, plus many, many more things. They're yours. They're ours. See, and what God wants us to do is to live a life that represents that. That's what we're going to look at today. Now, all of us fall short, right? All of us are in the journey of living those things. All of us are in the walk of living those things. God is patient with us and kind and working those things. But our life is to be servants of that. It's to be representatives of that. We're to be ministers of that. We're to be deaking over what God has given us to do. We have been made capable as ministers of a new covenant. That's what God's word says. We have been made adequate as deacons to carry out this duty. Our life is to be declaring by how we live a new covenant relationship with God where everything's new. And God said, in my salvation, I made you capable of it. And I will empower you, and I will guide you, and I will lead you for you to walk in the ability of it all. Before salvation, you couldn't do any of it. See what Paul is contrasting with what false teachers are trying to teach? That somehow it's in you, and somehow you can do it, and if you'll do the right things, if you'll say the right words, if you'll do the right faith, if you'll do the... Think about all the false teachers that come along and teach all kinds of things, that if you do this, if you do that, you'll get God to do this. God said, I already did it in you. I'm waiting for you to follow it. And what I do is what I do. God. I'm not God, okay? But that's what God is saying here in our text, and we're to be servants of a new covenant. Now, I gave you five things to hang your hat on there, five observations that we're going to look at as we go through the text here. So look at number one. Number one, let me get you back to 2 Corinthians. Sorry, turn your Bibles back there, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 through 6. But five observations as we put that on our heart, what we're talking about today. The first one, number one, servants of the new covenant. And you might want to write this in because I kept it all C's in there. I get lost in that kind of stuff. And it's never about the outline. It's never about the homiletics, or it's never about any of that. It's always about the truth and presenting it. But you might write it right in there. Number one, servants of the new covenant, we are not to be commending ourselves. That's what Paul says. See, that's what he said. We're servants of a new covenant. And now it goes back to verse 1. He says, are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need some letters of commendation to you or from you? Hey, listen, if you're living the new covenant life of Christ, if you're teaching, you're proclaiming that salvation is found in Christ alone and that I have this new life in Christ, and that you're proclaiming that how you do that is by believing and trusting in Christ, and then you get this newness of life and the old man is gone and the new has come and all the things you would teach. See, you don't need anybody commending you, do you? And that's what he's saying. Are we beginning to commend ourselves? We don't want to commend ourselves. That's what he's talking about. It flows from verses 14 to 17 into that question also. But look at those again. Remember last week's message? Now listen to this. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, verse 14, and manifests through us a sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. And for, I'll just put it in the pronoun of me, for I am a fragrance of Christ to God. And for I'm not like many peddling the word of God, but I, as from sincerity, and I, as from God, I speak in Christ in the sight of God. And God always leads me, and I always triumph in Christ, and God always manifests the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him through me. I'm commending myself, aren't I? So Paul is being careful here and saying, we don't want to commend ourselves. We don't want to make it about us. Remember in verse 16, but who is adequate for these things? Who's made us competent? Who's given us stability? It's God. I don't have it. So we don't want to commend ourselves. See, people that are servants of Christ, servants of God, servants of a new covenant, don't go around commending themselves. They don't go around saying, wow, man, I got a new life. Have you guys seen my new life? It's a wonderful new life. It's a beautiful new life. You know what? God's grace, he's wonderful to me. Let me tell you. Now, we can give our testimony, but you can see there's a little bit of, the word means presenting yourself as worthy. That's what commending means. Presenting yourself to be noticed. Woo, have you seen me? I triumph in Christ all the time. It's that kind of attitude. That's what he's saying. We don't have that in being servants of the new covenant. We're not bragging about our lives. We don't need a letter of commendation from others to talk about our lives. Hey, listen, if I wrote you a letter of commendation and you took it to your boss, And I wrote in there, man, let me tell you, this man or this woman, she loves the Lord, or he loves the Lord, whatever I'd write. They're faithful to God. They serve the Lord. They give to the church. They minister within the church. They're just wonderful people. They serve the community. They just got the tool. What good is that letter going to do you to your boss when your life doesn't look like that? It's not going to do much good, is it? That's what Paul's getting to. We don't need letter of commendations. We don't need people to write how good we're doing or how well we are and how much we get. Because people see what we're living for. And that's the second point in our text. That's the second observation that he gets to. Servants of a new covenant, we don't commend ourselves. The servants of the new covenant are caring for others. Look at verse 2 through 3. Look what he writes. He writes this, "You are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of a human heart." Did you see what he said? Cared there is this word. It's the same word kind of that we had earlier. It means, the word here, cared, means is having been served by us. You know you serve other people? You serve other people by living the new covenant relationship God has made you capable of living. Or you serve yourself and you don't live it. You live this new covenant relationship that God has in new life, new self, new living way, all of that. And you serve others by telling, teaching, and counseling others to or in this new covenant relationship. So this is what it is. You've been called to minister, to live, to deacon this new covenant relationship with God in your life, been made capable, and you live it, and it ministers to other people, it cares for other people. And in that, the living God, by his Spirit, this is what it says in the text, engraves the way of life, the truth of Christ in the hearts of people. That's incredible. And guess what? He's over it all. He's sovereign. He's the one that chooses what he engraves. He's the one that, if you're going to pierce the heart with the truth of God, God is the one over that. But he uses you and me in our servitude, in our just living the life God has asked us to live in the midst of everything we do as servants of a new and living way that God has brought to us, and teaching it and counseling it and sharing it to inscribe on the hearts of people. Look around your life. Is God working in the life of those around you through you? Is he? Now again, that's God's sovereign hand on how that goes. You can't look at them all and say, well, yes, he is or yes, he isn't in that kind of sense. But look at your own life. The way you're living and what you're teaching and the truth of God's word and the things that you're talking and the way that you're living, what are the people around you learning about God? What's being inscribed in their heart? That's what he's talking about. Let me put it this way. You guys are my letter. I'll be honest with you, you're my letter. If I teach that faith in God, that your walk with the Lord, that the truth of God is about you keeping some sort of law of God, that if you'll do certain things, that if you'll be obedient to these certain things, if you'll practice these kind of things, you get certain things from God, that it's a game of works, that it's a life of works, that'll be written on you. But if I teach the gospel truth, the good news of Jesus Christ, that he came to save, to give us new life, that if we follow the Lord and honor him with our life and go through him, God has a wonderful, incredible life for us in this new life in Christ, and he will use our lives to write in other people's hearts, inscribe in their hearts the truth of God's word, and that's what it's about, and that's what we live for. If you live for that, you're a letter of me. Or if you live for the other, is that what I'm teaching? See, we are a letter. You are my letter. Your family's your letter. Now, this doesn't take into account people that turn from what you teach and rebel from what you go from, because that's God's business. That's what God does. But in our heart, this is the life that we've been asked to live that God wants to do. But all servants of a new covenant, living this new life, God uses to reach hearts. Like I said, you are my letter. My family's my letter. My neighbors are my letter. Take your children. Parents, take your children. Think about your family. You getting to the heart of the issue, or are you working on external behavior? look at your life as a parent. What are you teaching? What are you living? Living the new life in Christ, that we need this new life, that, you know, you teach behavior. Yes, you teach the principles of God, that we want to honor senior people. We want to respect each other. We want to look in their eyes. We want to do the things that God would want us to do. But do you teach them that apart from salvation in Christ, it doesn't matter how many good things they do or how wonderful a little boy, a little girl they are, they're not going to be with God forever? That it isn't about how well you live your life. It's about how much you accept Jesus Christ and have the new life that he has given you and then live out the new life that he has given you. That's what it's about. Parents, don't ever feel bad when your kids are running around here misbehaving. Because us that are here, that are loving the Lord and wanting to see them, see them come to faith in Christ, and trusting in the Lord, it's not about you and what you look like in a parent or them and what they look like as a child. It's about the opportunity for each of us to instruct and teach. That's why we need Jesus Christ. Because before him, all of us ran around here like banshees. No matter how many whoopings you got. And a whooping will never save you. No great discipline in your home will never save a child. Only the truth of Jesus Christ, only the hope that is found in the new covenant gospel, that he came to rescue us from sinners, and every one of us, no matter how good we behave, need to be rescued. And we want to live in such a way that God uses your life to inscribe that in the hearts of the people around you. That's what Paul's talking about. How could you listen to somebody give you all these promises and all these things and tell you all this wonderful things going on? What we're teaching, what we're preaching, what we're saying is changing the lives of people. You remember the parable Jesus taught in Matthew 25, 31 through 46? Sheep and the goats? You guys remember that parable? At the end of all this, let me paraphrase it for you. It goes like this, In the end of all this, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, the second coming of Christ, at the end of all of this, he says the nations gather before him. And as a shepherd, he separates the sheep from the goats, the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. You guys don't feel good about that? Okay. Sheep on the right, goats on the left. Okay, because the sheep believe in Christ. The sheep are going to be in the eternal kingdom. The goats are sent to hell. Pretty straight with you. And he tells the sheep, he says to them, to the sheep, come and be blessed and enter into the kingdom prepared for you. Why enter? For when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, this is Jesus speaking, you gave me a drink. When I was a stranger, you invited me in. When I was naked, you clothed me. And when I was sick, you visited me. When did we see you, Lord? We didn't see you, Lord. When did we do that to you? He said, when you did it to the least of these. He's talking about people. When you did it to people that nobody cares about, that none of us care about apart from Christ, than other ourselves, he said, you did it to me. And then to the goats, he said, you did none of it, hell's yours. Now let me ask you something. Do you think he was talking about a cup of water? Do you think God was standing there and wanting to teach us that in this time when Jesus will look upon humanity and see people in their life and separate the sheep from the goats, do you think he was talking about that you gave somebody a sandwich, you gave somebody a water, you gave somebody a coat, you invited somebody in that was cold, somebody was sick, you gave them some NyQuil that you didn't know and you cared about? You think he was talking that simply about if we'll do those things, God will judge that, God will see that, God will acknowledge that it's the goats and the sheep? He's talking about something of a spiritual reality. He's talking about the people that have the new life in Christ, the new covenant relationship with God, that have come and have been reconciled back to God. Because when they see someone thirsty, when they see somebody that's hungry, without the sustenance of God's truth or God's way, when their life is destroyed in this world, when people go certain ways in this world because they don't have no knowledge of God or Christ, when they are sick, they needed the physician. When they are ill, they need God's truth. When you see, he's talking more about that. Let me put it in this way. Let me say it the right way. He's talking about spiritual realities of those with new life through the new covenant. When we see someone hungry, needing sustenance, or thirsty, we see their need of salvation. Yes, we want to give people water. Yes, we want to give people food. Yes, we want to give people jackets. Yes, we want to care about the down and out and the poor and that kind of thing. But if that's as far as we go when we care about them, how do we have new life? Because in our heart and in our mind and in our soul isn't really the reality of, man, I had everything made new. And we want people to be clothed in the righteousness of Christ. The ministers of the new covenant minister new life, caring for others. Third observation. Look at verse 4 in our text. This is pretty simple. Third observation. Our confidence is in God. Such confidence we have through Christ toward God. Listen, our confidence isn't in us and our ability. It's not in our church. It's not in our teachings. And all, I mean, it's in God's word. That's God's word, so our confidence is in him. But it isn't in our own ability. It's not in ourselves. Our trust, that's a good word for confidence here. Our trust is in him. Even though he's made us capable of living this new life and able to share and teach it with others, it doesn't make us the deciding factor. Our trust is in him. I'm not the deciding factor, are you? God is, Philippians 1:6, right? He who began a good work in you. Hey, it didn't say Pastor Ken began a good work in you. It doesn't say Tony began a good work in you. It says he, God, he who began a good work. He's the only one that begins a good work. He uses our lives. He uses the way we live. He uses his word. He uses all that to pierce hearts. But it's God who begins a good work. Our trust and confidence is in him as we live this life. And it says he will perfect it until the day of Christ. He's the one that works through the journey. And the journey looks a lot different in a lot of ways. So our confidence is his trust in him as we live out this new covenant relationship with God. Fourth observation, our confidence is from God. Look at verse 5 again. So our confidence is in God, not ourselves. Our confidence is competence, our ability, our adequacy is from God. Look at verse 5 again. Not that we are adequate in ourselves. See, he's talking about confidence and about people with God inscribing on their hearts, on human hearts, the truth of God, bringing salvation, that they are letters of Christ, that they've been saved. He's writing about that. Not that we're adequate in ourselves, competent, capable, ability to consider anything that's coming from ourselves. It's not coming from us. But our adequacy is from God. Adequate means competency, ability, sufficiency, a state of being qualified for something. What God asks of you, you are competent to do, for it's from him. That's what Paul is talking about. It's not from us. False teachers say it's from them. It's from God. It's not from ourselves. It is God who accomplishes all of this. I want you to think with me for a moment. In your life, I know mine. You know, in all my journey with the Lord and becoming a pastor and graduating seminary and serving God's church, sometimes the strongest thought came, I can't do this. This is not going to happen. That ever happened to you? God asked you to do some things. God asked you, sometimes this might be just husbands trying to love their wives and you're walking around going, I can't do this. Have you seen her, Lord? Or wives in the same aspect, on the same thing. Man, do you know what he's like? I'm supposed to live with him in a loving way. I can't do this, Lord. Or be patient and kind and enduring to somebody in your neighborhood that isn't for you, or hold out the love of God in truth. I could go on and on. But I know in my life, when I've had those things, when I can't do this, Lord. Oh, I'd say 3 years into seminary, God gave me this verse. He said, your competence isn't from you, Ken. It's from me, and I called you to do it, so my ability is your ability, and you'll be able to do it. And I'm working and shaping you and working in your life of you struggling to do what I've asked you to do. But in the truth of it, you can do it because I'm God, and I have the ability. And I got a work going on in your life. And it isn't about if you can do it. It's about if you'll walk with me as I show you how much through you I can do it. That's what God's talking about. God never asked a believer to do something that he didn't give them the capability of do it. Why we kind of quit is because we don't like the work in our life that God's wanting to do. We're all the same way. We just want it done. We just got to have everything fixed in our home. We got to get it all fixed. We got to get it all right. We got to get it all that. And the journey is our adequacy, our competency, our ability is not from ourselves. It's from God, and anything he asks us to do, he will give us the ability to do. If God asks you, calls you, tells you to do something, he is able. I don't consider it coming from myself at all. He is able. I don't consider it from me, but God's competency through me. And so what it brings is humbly depending upon the power of God in your life. And if he's asked you to do it, he will do it. It's about our trust and confidence in him. Last observation, verse 6, look at it with me. Communication, I used to see there. Communication. We are to proclaim something, that's what he's talking about. Who also made us adequate of servants of the new covenant. Now you need to remember new covenant, relationship with God. He made us capable, adequate, have the ability to deacon, to minister this new life found in Christ, this new covenant, to live it and to share it, to communicate it, not of the letter. Hey, keep all the ways of God, keep all the laws of God, and it will give you the new life. No, but of the Spirit. For the letter brings death, kills. That's what the Old Testament was, or the Old Covenant was for. The Mosaic Law was for you to see, I can't keep it. What am I going to do, Lord? That's why I need to be saved. I'm a sinner. I can't keep the rules the right way. I can't keep the laws the right way. I try, I'll fail. So I need forgiveness because I'm going to fail. And so I need a Savior. I'm a sinner, and I don't have the ability to keep your law. And so as a New Testament, New Covenant person in Christ, you live in such a way that God works by the Spirit. You talk to others and you live this life, communicating the message that it's the Spirit that gives life, not keeping the letter of the law. That's what we communicate. It's a reputation for going after godliness, or is it just words out of your mouth? Has God used you in the transforming of lives by inscribing God's way on the hearts of people or in giving rules to follow? We are to put on, we are to wear all God has made us, Colossians 3. We're to wear the new man. We're to put on the righteousness of Christ, this life that we have. Is your trust in him and his work where you humbly submit to his sovereign hand and his sovereign power to work through your obedience to him, or is it in your effort and in your own effort? That's what we're challenged with today. Romans 3:20 says this, by the works of the law, by the trying to keep God's law in the Old Testament, no flesh will be justified in the sight of God. No one man will be made right in the sight of God. Romans 7:6 says it this way, that through faith in Christ we have been released from the law, having died to what we were bound, so that we serve in newness of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. Christians, believers, church, followers of Christ, we are to be obedient to God's word. We are to be obedient to the truth of God's word, to live God's word, to live out, because God has given us the way of life in his word, the truth of life in his word, but we live that out from inside. We live that out from having the new life of God given us. We're not living it out to gain anything, to appease anything, to rapture anything, to do anything. We're living it out because what he's done has given us new life. Don't ever have a teaching in your heart and mind that following God and being obedient to God is how God blesses and all these. Yes, God blesses in our obedience, but God's life is in us. We're following the Lord. He has told us to, as we follow his word, God's way comes about in our life. But don't ever have a teaching where you say you have to follow the ways of God, you have to follow the truths of God for you to be accepted, for you to be loved, for you to be reconciled, for God to like you. Because that's not the message of the New Testament. The message of the New Testament is that we need rescued. God came to rescue us. And when we're rescued, we have new life. And it shows up in how you live. And if it's not there, call upon Christ to save you. Because if it's not there, it's not there. I can't work it up. Nothing of that comes out of myself. It doesn't. If it's not there, if there isn't a desire to live for the Lord, if there isn't a want to live for the Lord, if there isn't something there keeping in the journey going on that you have new life in Christ and you're trying to represent this new life that Christ gave you, you need to repent and ask God to save you. Because his word doesn't say it's never not there. You can be rebelling against it. You can be turning against it. You can be arguing with God against it. You can be stumbling in it all. But he'll end up this chapter with the whole book when he says, now examine your hearts to know if you are in the kingdom of God. And I would never want to preach and teach God's word and sit here and never encourage anybody. It makes no difference that you might have been coming to church 40 years and you haven't been saved. Because today's the day of salvation. We just want everybody to have the new life in Christ. Amen? I don't want your life to look good. Opposed to that you don't know Christ. I want you to follow the Lord. I want you to follow God's word. I want these blessings of God as we live for him to be in your life. But what servants of the new covenant proclaim, what we live, what we're communicating with our lives and our words, God uses to give life. New covenant life. Not ways of obedience. What is all this life about? What's it all about? It's about God transforming work of new life in Christ. We're not commending ourselves as worthy or deserving. We are caring for others in God's work in their heart. We're confident in God's trusting in him. Our competency to do any of this and what he asks us to do is from him. Because our communicating through our words and our life as we live it, God gives life through faith in Jesus Christ. We're just servants of a new covenant. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this passage for us this morning. And Father, my desire, my heart is to represent your truth, your word to us. To represent what you want to speak to our lives, to minister to us, and to represent you, to represent Christ's salvation and God's word to us, and it minister to our lives, and it help us walk in the newness of life that we have. Help us put off the old self, put on the new. Help us see the truth that helps us recognize where we're being deceived or living on something that is in error, and all of us have done that before, and we'll have to work through all of that in our life. But today, in your word, Lord, in your speaking to our lives today, all of our desire here, each one of us that believe in Christ, trust in Christ, that are New Testament believers, that have this new covenant relationship with you, we desire your truth to go forward and pierce the hearts of people and inscribe in their heart. Maybe it's salvation for the first time. Maybe it's just a heart to repent over something in their life, or a heart to just give up on the rebellion that's in their life, or to be shaped and maybe change the focus or the direction of their life where they've been making life something else. I don't know what you're doing, Lord. I know you're doing so many things. So I thank you for the day that you've given, for the opportunity for your word to go forth and to shape us and to encourage us and to speak to our hearts. Lord, use this church family, this body of Christ, to do your work in whatever you desire, in whatever manner that you desire. For we know you, through us, will make us capable of serving you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're dismissed this morning.